Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Just 38 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, we're with you until 2 o'clock from now on. Every single weekday, 11 to 2, you can hear the whole show and all of our wonderful guests each and every day, 11 to 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday on 103.1, 1310, and 1310kfk.com. And one of those amazing guests, and we're excited to be catching up with Brian. We're still sorting out our details because once camp starts and then the weekly schedule starts, we may have to move some things around. But for now, Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone, from the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, my man, always great to catch up with you.
Always great to catch up with you, and yeah, we'll definitely figure it out. We'll be on here weekly.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I love it when you're on, my guy. And there's so much to talk about. Like, okay, Brian, we're hot and heavy on Pac-12 stuff. I mean, we were rocking and rolling. What's going to happen? Are we going to get all of this sorted out by the time the season starts? And maybe most of the Pac-12 is gone, or we're going to have a different kind of version of the Pac-12. But for the last couple of weeks, we've slowed down, haven't we?
Yeah, I think there was that initial thought by everyone, and maybe even including people in the Pac-12, of that scramble effect, right? Of what do we do now? But I think the more time goes on, I think it's been the best thing to do, to just kind of sit back, take an assessment of what's going on, and then figure out what to do. Because, you know, I think that ultimately it could turn out that the best move is to stick together and then maybe add like a San Diego State and someone else, and we'll see. But, you know, I think that's still to be determined. I think that these schools are making the smart move by, let's assess everything before we start jumping ship.
So, Brian, in your mind, and from, you know, what you've heard and such, do you see any more changes then before the season starts? Or are we going to then essentially put this on ice for now, let the season play out, and then reconvene later in the year, later at the end, you know, come bowl season? Or what do you think, man? Are we putting this on ice for the moment?
I think we are, but I didn't see the big change coming in the first place, so we'll see.
True.
But, you know, in my opinion, it seems like things might be put on ice for a little while, maybe until after the season. You know, I was at Pac-12 Media Day on Friday, and the commissioner talked about, you know, that they're going to open up a lot of negotiation rights. It's going to get hot and heavy, like, after the Big Ten. The Big Ten is done with theirs, and those should be announced here soon. He said that it could take a few months for the Pac-12 to figure all that out. So if these schools are patient through all that, then, yeah, it's going to take, you know, several months maybe until after the season. But, you know, who knows? I mean, you could get some antsy administrators for some schools and say, you know what, let's get going. And, yeah, maybe the Big Ten comes back and says, hey, we got all this money, you know, and we would like to have Oregon, Washington, those schools. And all of a sudden that just, you know, throws chaos out there once again. So. Yeah, we'll see.
We're talking to Brian Howell. He's our Buffs insider from Buff Zone. And what else did you take from the Pac-12 media days? George Kliavkoff, I think I get it right. I mess it up more often than not. But one of the things he talked about was like, hey, if you have access to a TV of any kind of sort, we want to make sure you get Pac-12 football on your television. I mean, isn't that where we go back to? At the end of the day, we have to make it easy to access your games. We have to be able to find more Pac-12 games throughout the conference, not just the Buffs, but we have to be able to find as many Pac-12 games as possible and as easy as possible.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of their mission right now is, you know, let's get creative. Let's do some things that maybe haven't been done before. I mean, he was asked, you know, what's the likelihood of there being some non-traditional TV partners, media partners, such as Apple Plus and things like that. He said it's very likely. He said highly likely. So, you know, you could see things like, you know, maybe Pac-12 games are on Hulu or something like that. You know, so I think they're looking at everything and trying to get, you know, the Pac-12 teams out there. And I think the time slot, there's been a lot of talk about the time slot where the Pac-12 can play late at night is a benefit for the conference. And yeah, I think they'll try to capitalize on that. I think there's a lot of different things they're looking at to try to maximize what they can make.
I think that's a great point that you make up too, or you make, because Hulu, I mean, we have all of these options now. I mean, any random person you talk to, they're going to have, maybe they have your basic cable packages or whatnot, but they also have all of these different external outlets where they can watch games, and we're seeing games put everywhere. I mean, I watched a Rockies game on YouTube a couple of months ago. Like, there are opportunities here. Now's the time to get extremely creative and just figure out how can we get more games.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, MLB's been doing that for a couple of years now, and you know, as far as I know, I don't know of any college football that's doing that. But maybe this is the time for the Pac-12 to get that creative. You know, do YouTube, do Apple, Hulu, maybe Netflix. You know, I don't know if Netflix is an option, but you know, Amazon Prime. You know, maybe you get games on there. There can be lots of different ways to do that, and maybe it's you pay $5 for that particular game rather than just a monthly fee. You know, I think a lot of people are tired of paying some monthly fees, and maybe it's just you pay a few bucks to watch your team play that Saturday. So, you know, I think there's a lot of different creative ways of looking at to try to make more money, and they really have to do that because they're not going to make the money that the SEC and Big Ten are making just by going with traditional TV partners.
No question about it. You have to think outside the box. And in your mind, Brian, from what you've learned of George Kliavkoff, is he the guy that can do this? I mean, a month ago, I might have just said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the Pac-12 dissolves into something completely different. But the fact that we haven't heard as much over the last 3 weeks, you are hearing the Pac-12 commissioner talk about expanded playoffs and better TV structures and all of that. Is it fair to think maybe this guy can help bring this thing back out of the dumps? We might actually see the Pac-12 exist as it does today.
Yeah, I think so. And the people that have worked with him, you know, I don't know him super well. I don't really know him that well. I've talked to him a couple times. But the people that I know that have worked closely with him, you know, Rick George speaks highly of him. You know, the CEO athletic director. People speak very highly of him that know him and think that he's going to be really good and that, you know, one of the comments I got when this whole thing with USC and UCLA happened was, it's a shame that George Kliavkoff may not be able to show how good he is, but maybe he will be able to. And I think the Pac-12 needs him to be as good as some people say he is.
I'm a big fan of the comeback story, man. And I mean, if he can figure this out, and I mean, I like the Pac-12, but I'll agree. I mean, as far as being accessible, that was problem number one, and we can go into the rest later. But that's, I mean, isn't that fair to say, Brian? You break it down at the end of the day, access to the games is issue number one.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, another thing that he brought up the other day that I had never thought of, but I think is a great point, is he said just because we don't have the LA schools there doesn't mean we're not going to play games in Los Angeles. And so they're already thinking clearly they're thinking about throwing some maybe non-conference games at, you know, SoFi Stadium or something like that. Maybe you do some, you know, a CU-Miami game or something like that. I'm just throwing that out there, you know, at SoFi Stadium, kind of a little showcase event. So maybe it sounds like they're not done playing in L.A. just because the L.A. schools are not there. So they're getting creative. They're doing some things. And this might end up being, you know, pretty decent comeback story.
Yeah, boy, I would be very intrigued by that side of it. Brian, at the end of the day, though, no matter how you want to slice this up, if you're the Buffs specifically, you have to just be thinking, hey, no matter what happens, the time is now. We have to put our best foot forward now. We have to find a way to make this season productive. It all gets started. I mean, we're getting into practice this week. It's August 1st. I love it. It's my favorite, well, one of my favorite times of year, but at least we're setting it up. How confident are you that Carl Durrell can turn this thing around?
Yeah, you know, I think Carl's good. I think they're so young right now that I'm not sure how good of a season they're going to have this year. I think that he's still battling some things that he had to deal with right from the start, including the pandemic and, you know, and just a lot of things, you know. And so I think he's still trying to build the roster. You know, I'm confident in him that he can be a good football coach and be a guy that takes them to bowl games every year if there's bowl games, and that's what the future looks like. But I think that he can, you know, be that guy. I just think this year could be a tough year.
How patient do you think Rick George and company are going to be with Durrell? I mean, are they of that same mindset where they're looking at it going, hey, we know you've had a weird start to your tenure here with us. You got a young team. You're just trying to get this thing right. Do they believe that he's the long-term plan? I mean, realistically, I mean, they're probably always going to tell you the right things, but just if you're reading between the lines, Brian, and I know you do that, do they believe that Carl Durrell's the long-term plan for this Buffalo's football team?
They've expressed nothing but support for him, you know, on the record, off the record. I think he's really good. Long term, I don't know, but I think that one thing I know about Steve is they didn't want another coaching change right away. And, you know, they really got burned by Mel Tucker, and I think they're going to give Carl Durrell some time. And, you know, I think this year's got to be an absolute disaster for them to move on from Carl after this year. I don't see an absolute disaster coming. So I would guess that he's still here next year. But if they go 3-9, 4-8 this year, and it's the same thing next year, I think it's hard to see him still here in 2024. But I do think that they're going to be patient at least this year because they want to see it get have some continuity and have it, you know, turn out well. And let's build a program here, not start over again.
I mean, and that's the thing. You have to be careful because you've been through so much turmoil. The Mel Tucker stuff, the COVID stuff. I mean, that Carl Durrell got the latest start of all of these new coaches we talked about are in the area a few years back. So I hope it works out for him. I really do. And Brian, as we progress, I certainly want to start breaking into the quarterback battle with you too. Maybe we'll know a little bit more too. But is that wide open at this point, or is it Brendan Lewis at this stage?
No, I think it's pretty wide open between Brendan Lewis and J.C. Shrout. I mean, they've thrown a lot of support behind Brendan publicly. I think a part of that is that that's for Brendan's benefit, to let him know, hey, we still believe in you. But I think it is going to be wide open. I think they're going to give J.C. a shot. And I think whoever's better, you know, and they've got other quarterbacks. I'm not saying that nobody else can do it, but I think it is a two-man competition. And I think that whoever's a better quarterback in fall camp is going to be the starter in game one.
Well, we'll be looking forward to it. So everything kind of gets, we're getting into it now. Players checking in and all that stuff this week. So, we're going to start learning more and more specifically about that quarterback battle, but, you know, what the rest of this team's going to look like as well.
Yeah, for sure. And we talk to the quarterback tomorrow. Mm. Day one, we get to talk to the quarterback. Apparently, the only chance we get all camp to talk to the quarterback. So, you know, I don't know how much we'll learn on day one, but we'll learn how they're feeling going into camp at least. So, but we'll certainly hear about that quarterback competition throughout August, and you know, we'll see, you know, who's going to be out there when they play TCU in the first game.
I know you had a write-up a couple of days ago about the quarterback position. What are you working on, Brian, that we can check out? I know you're going to be putting together a bunch of preseason stuff for us to check out at Buff Zone.
Yeah, today I'll have a, you know, camp preview. It starts tomorrow, and you know, some kind of some questions to look out for in camp, and players to watch out for in camp, and just kind of previewing the start of camp. And it gets busy now. Summer's over.
Once you turn over into August, I always kind of say once the Broncos start camp, it feels like summer's over. But officially in my mind, August 1st, man, we are going forward. We're going to have football. We're having NFL football this week with the Hall of Fame game. We will have football this month. So I'm with you. Summer is over if you're a football guy.
Yeah, you know, my kids still have a couple of weeks, and it's not over for them. But for me, it's officially over.
It depends on what your clock looks like, right? And I know you, Brian, specifically.
Right.
It's you've turned the calendar. Brian, my friend, appreciate you. I'm looking forward to having you on each and every week. Let's just hope it's a more of a positive year for the Buffs. And who knows what we'll find out with the Pac-12. We may get movement. We may not. But I know you'll be here for it. So we're just appreciative for your time each and every week.
You bet. Anytime. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, my man. There he is. Brian Howell of the CU Buff Zone. George Klyavkov, I think I've got it, the Pac-12 commissioner. I think he provided some hope. Maybe a little hope that the Pac-12 can pull themselves up by the bootstraps and still make this thing work. I don't know. I'm a little more optimistic, but you got outlets. You got tons of opportunities to get on television somehow. As Brian said, Netflix, Hulu, Peacock. I mean, what else am I missing? Now's the time to get creative. It's Hail Mary time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Almost done with that first hour, man. That's quick. We got another 2 hours coming up. Glad you guys could be with us here. Hulligans have all over the place, have been wanting a little more from the show as far as time. And, you know, we finally decided it is time. From enough of what we cover is taking full effect. And you know what? We're going to keep it three-hour format, even in July, Jades. We'll do movie reviews from like 1974 and stuff like that. No, we'll have enough to talk about, no question about it. But we do. We want the Hulligans to be a part of the conversation. Dixon, I'll get to your text in a moment. Adam Schefter did release kind of some more findings, I guess the conclusion of the Deshaun Watson verdict that the NFL has kind of reached, I think. I know the appeals process will take place, and we'll see if it sticks, but my guess is it will. It's going to be six games, so we'll talk about that next. Very interesting findings here that just makes it seem a little bit worse, in my opinion. We'll get to the second hour rolling. Our 12 o'clock hour coming up next. It's The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy, on, for live from the Allo Communications Studios. After the 11 o'clock hour. Gonna have to get used to that one there, Jades. 11:05 the time. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Haven't said good morning either. My goodness, there's a lot of changes we got to get through. The whole show now going a whopping 3 hours. We'll be with you 11 to 2 o'clock each and every weekday here on 103.1, 1310, and 1310 KFK, or yeah, 1310KFK.com. Is that the website? That's the website, right? Make sure you're checking us out. You know, the Good Morning NoCo crew rocking and rolling from 6 to 10 now, 4 hours of them. Fantastic morning show, magazine show, bringing you a little bit of everything on your morning commute. Clark and the coach will stick with the 1 hour format. They're starting now at 10 o'clock and then jumping right into our program here. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We're going to get right into this story. That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day as well, based on Deshaun Watson. It was announced earlier this morning, Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson suspended six games for violating NFL's personal conduct policy. Six games. We're going to get into that. The six-game suspension without pay. Didn't necessarily, he's not being fined. He's just missing out on those game day checks. You had basically the disciplinary officer, Sue L. Robinson, ruled Monday. And from everything that we heard over the span leading up to this verdict, so to speak, is that the NFLPA, would go along with whatever Sue L. Robinson ruled. So we're going to get into this. I'm going to unpack this thing. You know where I stand, guys. If you've listened to the whole show much over the years, the NFL's suspension policies, they're all over the place. I always think of, you got, Jade, you're way too young to know this show, but I Dream of Jeannie was an old TV show back in the day, and she would, what would she do, kind of nod her head and something would happen? That's Roger Goodell. There's really no rhyme or reason to why a person, how a person gets suspended. We just throw them out there. Six games, seven games, four games for you, three games for you. I mean, you could just go through the list of suspensions and you have to ask yourself, why is this thing deemed six games? Tom Brady was given four games for allegedly taking air out of a ball. Remember, that was never proven that he took the air out of the ball. The 4-million-page investigation came out and said it was more reasonable than not to believe that Roger Goodell or that Tom Brady took air out of a football. He was never found guilty of it, but the NFL assumed he was guilty, correct? So here in this story with Deshaun Watson, and again, if you guys want to chime in, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. they're assuming he's guilty, correct? Now, he's not being criminally charged here. There's obviously some settlements going on outside of this, but if you want to come in and say, well, you know, it wasn't fair, this isn't fair that he's getting six games at all, because there are some people that are doing this, saying he wasn't found guilty in the court of law. Well, the NFL doesn't go by the court of law. They say they do sometimes when it benefits them. But in this case, they did their own independent investigation. And for him to get any game, whether it was one game or six, you are admitting that you believe, as an organization, that Deshaun Watson did something wrong. That he did, in fact, do what all of these women are alleging that he did. Otherwise, you would say, listen, he wasn't found guilty, therefore, we're washing our hands of the situation. To be honest with you, and this might not be a popular opinion, if you can't get it right with this, then the NFL should make it a maxim from now on where they can't suspend you if you are not, A, doing anything to mess up the game, you know, PEDs, cheating, gambling, take an air out of a football, anything like that. That should be a separate deal. And then if it comes to something outside where it's illegal activity going on, the NFL should wash their hands of all of it and say if he's found innocent by the court of law or charges are thrown out or they're not pressing charges, then we wash our hands of it. That is our new maxim. But instead, Roger Goodell and company like to be the judge, jury, and executioner over everything. They want to try to appease some people that say, oh, well, he should be suspended. He should miss out on some games. But now we just are going to sit here and argue about six games. So that's the big problem. That's the flaw with all of this, is the inconsistencies of suspension. Some will say, Brady, stop comparing Tom Brady's deal and Ray Rice's deal and Calvin Ridley's deal to what Deshaun's doing. These are all separate things. Yes and no. I mean, what I gather from this, if you just want to summarize it, here's what the NFL's telling you. Screw with our game and you're in big trouble. Everything else, meh. We'll slap you on the wrist. I mean, six games out of 17 now. Six games out of 17. 6 weeks, dude. 6 weeks. And again, some are in that contingency of saying, well, he wasn't found guilty, so he shouldn't get any games. I mean, there are comments here. Tom says imagine being Watson and getting six games, but was never proved to have done anything wrong. The NFL discipline policy is dumb. And see, that opinion's not necessarily wrong because he wasn't found guilty. But if you believe he was guilty, then six games is too minimal. It's way out there out of the realm of possibility. If you're saying that you think that he is guilty of all of these acts that, what, 24 women? Is it 24 women have come out against him to say he did all this stuff? Now, again, all but like three of them completely dropped it. They settled. But if you believe then, if you're saying that, well, he wasn't guilty, but we're still suspending him six games, then what are you suspending him six games for? You believe he did this then, correct? You believe that Deshaun Watson committed all of these acts that we have been reading about for the past however long. And if you say, well, that's where I think you protect yourself. Ray Rice, all of them. You just flat out say, you know what? If the judicial system rules this way or it's thrown out, then we wash our hands of it. Instead, by acting on this, You say that Deshaun Watson is guilty in your minds as an organization, but only guilty enough to get six-game suspension. Tom Brady got four for allegedly taking air out of a football. I mean, we could go on and on about all of this. Noob saying it should have been a year minimum. Bama Bear, interesting that the Browns have their first stretch of big-time games after Week 6. NFL is driven by money. It's hard to argue that. You look at the Browns' schedule, and you're exactly right, Bama Bear. This is but did I expect it to be any different? No. Look at the history of suspensions by the NFL. So you have Myles Garrett violated unnecessary roughness and unsportsmanlike conduct rules, fighting, removing the helmet of an opponent, using the helmet as a weapon. He was suspended for, he ultimately missed the year, correct, after all of that happened. Vontaze Burfict, repeat violation of the league's player safety policy, stemming from a hit on Indianapolis Colt tight end Jack Doyle, all within the game. I'm just looking through some of these. Kendricks from Seattle, violation of personnel conduct policy stemming from a guilty plea to insider trading, 8 games for him. Jimmy Smith, violation of personnel conduct policy, violation of team rules, violation of conduct policy. I mean, you could go through the list of on the field stuff, off the field stuff, and it'll just blow your mind the way that these suspensions are doled out. Calvin Ridley, suspended a year for gambling on NFL teams. And listen, I think that it should be illegal to gamble. I was listening to Good Morning Oco, and I heard Tanner say something like, hey, shouldn't you want them to gamble on their own team? No, because it's called insider trading. Calvin Ridley knows way more than you and I know if starting quarterback has a bum ankle. Or maybe he's going to play, but he's playing very much injured. That's insider trading. So I don't think players should be able to gamble in any fashion on the sport in which they play. But he gets a year, and that's what we're going to draw that comparison to. Some people don't like it. Some people do that. The comparison between Deshaun Watson's 6 games and Calvin Ridley's year, Tom Brady's 4. Yes, Jades.
Well, similarly to Myles Garrett and what he did, Albert Haynesworth in 2006, he literally stomped on the Dallas Cowboys center's head and received a 5-game suspension.
Game. Right, and what's worse, stomping on some guy's head or taking a helmet off of some guy's head and hitting him with it, or Tom Brady allegedly taking air out of a football. And again, the NFL didn't want to suspend Brady for 4 games. They didn't want to do that. They don't want to do any of that. They want their stars out there. But this is just, it needs to, and I know some people would argue, but it does need to be more black and white. If you're the NFL, you should, right now, today, you should say, from now on, if a player commits some kind of act outside of the game and is going to court for it, we will keep them suspended until the deal is done or whatever. And if they are not found guilty of any kind of crime or what have you, we will let them play. Because your suspensions are a joke and only causing us to discuss this more in detail about how much of a joke they really are. Just absolutely bizarro world that we're getting into. I mean, look at like, I go back to some of these suspensions over the years, man. I mean, a lot of them are in-game stuff, but there's also personnel conduct, personal conduct, whatever policies stemming from a guilty obstruction charge. Pac-Man Jones got a game from that. Ezekiel Elliott, violation of the conduct policy again, stemming from a domestic violence case. He got 6 games. It's just the more we get of these, the more inconsistent they are, and it only shows us how bad the NFL really is. The Weld County Swami says, hey, our politicians do it. Why not players? Sarcasm in the last text. Well, players are supposed to be held to their standard behind the shield of the NFL. And this is you saying, we think he's guilty. The NFL thinks Deshaun Watson is guilty. Let's be very clear on that. They would not suspend him for any games at all if they thought he was innocent. And because they suspended him for any amount of games, the NFL is saying, yes, we believe all of those women that came forward and accused Deshaun Watson of these pretty horrific acts, but it's only bad enough to get you 6 games. This is why, I mean, I might sound calloused, but if you're not going to do any better than that, then you shouldn't mess with this at all. It should come out, and I know that would have been an uproar today too, but the NFL should make it known today, put it out, press release. The NFL will no longer rule on things that have been dropped in court or have been ultimately found to be innocent or what have you. The NFL should do that today, protect themselves from this, because your suspensions are a joke. Ray Rice is being brought up today. He was suspended. Now, remember the Ray Rice story. He was coming out of an elevator, dragging, was it his then-fiancée at the time, unconscious. She was out, like a light. So we all believed something happened there. Well, the NFL believed he did something, that he wasn't just dragging out a drunk fiance or whatever. He was dragging her out because he caused her to be that way, but they only suspended him 2 games. So, and then they come back and see the video, and they the full video of actually him hitting her, knocking her out. Then they give him a year. But my whole point from that was, why did you suspend him 2 games in the first place? Why? Because you believe he caused her to be unconscious, correct? Yes. But then the video comes out and, oh, that's how it happened. Okay, he gets a year. You would think from that Ray Rice situation, the NFL would have learned their lesson. But they didn't. I got a lot on this today. Brian Howell from Buff Zone going to join me. We're talking CU today. What's next for the Pac-12? We've gone silent on that, haven't we, the last few weeks? Where are we in that situation? And how big of a season is this for Carl Durrell and the Colorado Buffaloes? We're also going to talk to Tim Cassidy with CSU football about the women's walk coming up, the women's football clinic, I should say, set for August 13th, but also his role with CSU football. I think what he does is a very fascinating position that he has, kind of overseeing football. They almost have their own mini athletic director, if you will. So I'm curious to kind of hear his thought process on this new CSU era that we're seeing. Jay Norvell continues to make the rounds. He was on the Rockies broadcast yesterday. He was on, you know, national famous sports broadcaster Jim Rome's program. So we're going to talk about that. The Rams are certainly making waves in the media and getting out and about throughout the state of Colorado. But we know that practice starts up on Friday, and we're finally going to start to see what this team is made of. So I'm excited about that, too. Jades, we got to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. There wasn't much good. There hasn't been much good to take from the Rockies month of July. Pretty rough after the All-Star game, All-Star week. Pretty sure it's safe to say the Rockies goose is cooked. They go 1-3 in the Dodgers series. But the good, I do have it. He is our Zvi Brewing Player of the Week. It is Mr. Kyle Freeland. When he pitches, they win. When he doesn't, they lose. That's according to the last week. Kyle Freeland was sharp in his last two outings, especially on Saturday.
He's got a great slider in the dirt. And he got it. 2-2. Check swing, and he went. Ball in the dirt. Diaz will throw it down to first, and Kyle gets his third strikeout of the night. It's 3-2 swing and a miss.
1-2, and he struck out the side. How about that inning? Good pitch. That's 4 in a row now for Freeland.
Kyle Freeland was fantastic. The rest of the Rockies just couldn't solve the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, it started out terrible, right? Was that Thursday was awful, Thursday was awful, Friday was better, Saturday was great for the Rocks, yesterday not so much. But Kyle Freeland, maybe we're going to get to it pretty soon where he's one of the last Rockies to win our Zvi Brewing Player of the Week, because football is upon us. We will have football games this month. In fact, we're having a football game this week. The NFL Hall of Fame game is on Thursday, and it'll be right here on 1310 KFKA. The bad for me, just the Rockies losing the series. Not that we didn't expect it, but I told you, Jades, if they do anything other than at least split this thing, you're probably going to see the Rocks busting their tail to try to get some kind of deal done as the trade deadline approaches tomorrow. The ugly, we already discussed it, but this Deshaun Watson situation is ultimately a terrible look for the NFL and the way they handle their business when it comes to suspensions. They have to get this right. And it's not an easy answer. I don't want to be Roger Goodell in this situation. I don't want to be the NFL PA. I don't want to be, you know, a lot of these folks that are up there making these decisions. But at the end of the day, this is a multi-billion dollar organization. I mean, they make a lot of money, so you expect them to find ways to get this handled. But Sue L. Robinson, of course, that's a tough spot as well. But at the end of the day, this is a very difficult situation. There was a comprehensive 15-page concluded that stated though Watson violated the conduct policy, there was not enough evidence to justify an indefinite suspension. Again, I just think that you give him six games, that's you saying you believe he's guilty. If there wasn't enough for you to act on an indefinite suspension or a year, then you probably shouldn't have even acted on any of it. Robinson's report also stated, quote, the NFL carried its burden to prove by a ton of different types of evidence that Mr. Watson engaged in sexual assault as defined by the NFL against the four therapists identified in the report. Mr. Watson violated the policy in this regard. So you know, you're admitting it. It's in the writing. Six games, though. That's all you're going to do. 24 minutes after the hour, rocking and rolling here on a Monday. First three-hour program here for the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're going to be happy to be busting through these programs with you each and every day. It is a beautiful time of year. August 1st means new beginnings for football. Colorado State, the University of Northern Colorado, Colorado, the Denver Broncos, Air Force, Wyoming. Oh, and basketball's not that damn far away. Hockey's not that damn far away. We're rocking and rolling here on the whole show, live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Deshaun Watson has been suspended for six games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Too much? Not enough? Fair, given that he isn't facing criminal charges? 72% of the hooligans are saying not enough. 16% say fair, given he isn't facing criminal charges. 11% saying too much at this point in time. I mean, listen, it's not, I'm not even going to say the ones that are saying it's too much is are wrong necessarily. I do think that this makes us have to have a deeper look into how the NFL suspends people. I used to always think, and I've changed a little bit on this, but not much, that the NFL should just wipe their hands of a lot of it. If the judicial system fails and doesn't find this guy, not necessarily that they fail, whatever, but they don't find this guy guilty or innocent or what have you, the NFL should back off and say, well, we're just going to do whatever it is they said. Okay, he's free to walk. He's free to do stuff. Great. We're not going to suspend him at all. If he's, you know, under some kind of probation or anything like that, okay, great. We act accordingly there. We do have to give him a few games or something along those lines. That's the problem with this, though, because by only giving him six games, it almost screams that, wasn't as bad as gambling on sports. That's you don't think that, I mean, some people think I'm exaggerating on this, but how do you not read it as that? You know, Calvin Ridley gambles, what, $1,500? On an NFL game, and he's out for a year. And in this case, you have Deshaun Watson do this, and it's six games. How do you not read it as that? I mean, do yourself a favor, if you're interested in this story, go and look at all the game suspensions that have been put out over the years. I've got an entire list pulled up here of guys that have done some pretty serious stuff, domestic violence, things of that nature, and they're suspended four games, five games, six games, eight games. I mean, not a lot of people get indefinite. I mean, again, Myles Garrett was initially given indefinite suspension. He was, and ended up doing enough good deeds, I guess, to come back from it. At the time, I thought, man, he should be out of the league. That's dangerous. Pulling a dude's helmet off, I mean, that's just absolute vicious. I've softened a little bit on that, but there's just a lot of crazy things that have happened. And you look at their amount of games they're suspended for, and you're like, wait, what? And if the NFL today came out and said one game for Deshaun, I'd say the exact same thing. Wait, so you do think he's guilty because you're giving him a game? if you want to wipe your hands of it and say, listen, there wasn't enough evidence to prove that he did all of these things as you saw it play out in the court systems, therefore, we are not ruling on it. They could have said that had they set this precedent up over the last few years. Your thoughts, go to thewholeshow.com and vote. I'd love for you guys to jump in on it. Texter here with the NFL getting 3 days to give their sentence. The public opinion on this will be heard by Goodell. Does it do enough to extend the suspension? I mean, if Goodell comes back and adds more, then the NFLPA is going to be up his butt, right? Then you're going to have to deal with that. This is the whole reason you brought her in, right? I mean, so that you could wash your hands of it and say that was the concluded investigation. Sue L. Robinson, the disciplinary officer, that's why we have this position. So what would be the point of overriding it, so to speak? 33 minutes after the hour, do you want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week each and every week. They're located half a mile south of Highway 34 and on 47th Avenue. Free wine tastings, beer tastings, spirits tastings. They do it every single weekend. Check them out. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm going to talk to Brian Howell coming up next, and haven't heard much on the Pac-12 situation. What is next for the Pac-12? More importantly, though, I mean, what you can control if you're Colorado is you got to go out and win games. You got to get out and win games and try to at least put your best foot forward as we're still sifting through all of this conference realignment. We're going to talk to Brian about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.